honorable members, I hope you had a good lunch. And good afternoon to you, Mr. Devnarian. You will correct me when you introduce yourself. Now is the time to tell us about yourself, your work experience, and how clean are you in terms of the disclosure of conflict of interest. You will have to do that in 5 minutes. And then we'll share 5 minutes with each member when a member is asking a question. Welcome and relax. Thank you very much. Your 5 minutes start.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I understand your instructions. Good afternoon, Honorable Members. My name is Jack Devnarine. I thank you all for the opportunity for this interview. Many of you might think that I'm here because of my professional experience, my media profile. Actually, that's only half the story. The true story is that I'm here because I've accepted the nomination of the organization that I represent, the South African Guild of Actors, SAGA. I've served as the chairperson of SAGA for the last 4 years. We are a registered non-profit organization. We are duly constituted. We have partners in labor through UASA and FEDUSA. We represent the economic and legal rights of all professional actors in South Africa. We have a mandate from our members to be here. My working career started off in the public service. It started off in 1994, a time of great violence and turmoil and hope. I was a police official in Durban, and during that time I probably learned the best and the worst of man's dramas. I took that with me. As democracy continued to unfold and open opportunities, I was able to pursue my passion of being a professional, full-time actor, joined the cast of Isidingo, and there I discovered a different kind of injustice working within the performance industry. And I can say this for the independent production sector as a whole, because I'm not just here representing actors today, I can speak for freelancers. And amongst their number, we count directors, crew, the hair and makeup artists, artisans, and all of those who are forced to sign freelance actor freelance contracts and find it extremely difficult. My experience over the last 15 years is what I bring to you today as a committee for your consideration, so that you may view my nomination in a favorable light. I'm here because I want to offer you insights of what it means to be in the performance industry at the very coalface, working under the conditions that we have when we forget what the implications are of policies that are implemented, where we forget what it means to be working under those conditions. I declare now to this committee that there is a potential for a conflict of interest, given that I am currently on contract with SABC Daily Drama Isidingo, and there's a possibility then that my presence as an executive, non-executive member on the SABC be there for your consideration. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Another member, that's the story of the man that you may have seen from afar, but you see him yesterday. Another petty, your time.
Good afternoon, Mr. Devna Rain, am I right?
Absolutely correct.
Okay. There's a debate going on, Mr. Devna Rain. We suggest that maybe Parliament must review the role and powers of the executive director in the SABC board. What's your view on that particular issue? Do you think it would be a good thing to do? If not, why?
Thank you, Honorable Tilly. I disagree that Parliament should have to extend its scope of authority over an area that, in terms of its institutional structure, there is already provision made for a board that would include non-executive directors. Surely, in my thinking, it is incumbent upon those non-executive directors to discharge their duties as required by the SABC Charter, instead of having to rely on outside influence, so to speak. When non-executive directors are appointed, it is expected of them, in terms of their charter, to proceed and find ways to create the policy as expected of them, and also to create the foundations of good governance. And under those principles, I don't believe that any further oversight is required.
I forgot to remind you that we're sharing 5 minutes, the two of us. So can we try and manage it well?
I will help you.
Yeah. What does SABC stand to benefit from the broadband environment?
The broadband environment is going to help create opportunities for more content. Content is basically what is the stock in trade of the SABC. This is how we create opportunities, not only for talent to be brought to the fore, which is very much in the mandate of the SABC, but it also creates opportunities for viewers so that they may exploit new and interesting ideas that are being presented to them. Broadband will create those opportunities. At the moment, it exists only as potential, and we need to do more.
You are lucky you have not been part of any of the boards that have been dissolved in the past. I hope it's not a very nice experience. If appointed a board member, can you switch off that one so that we're able to? If appointed a board member, what is it that you are going to do differently to avoid another dissolution? As I've indicated, it's not a nice thing. It's also for us in Parliament. It's not a nice experience.
Honourable Tilly, I'm not a fan of unpleasant experiences. I would rather avoid that at all costs. What I would propose to do, if I am appointed as a non-executive director, is to discharge my duties and to make sure that those checks and balances are respected, so that we can avoid the instances where there is a real loss incurred to the SABC and to the people who work there, and obviously to the people who stand as the major stakeholders of the SABC, which are actually its audiences and its employees.
Surely, it's not everything that is happening in the SABC that is bad. Surely there are some good stories to tell in the SABC. I hope. I'll hear from you. Can you try and convince South Africans that over and above all the other things, there are some positive things happening in the SABC?
Honorable Tilly, I believe I have the necessary experience to try to persuade South Africans that there is indeed a good story to tell, to coin a phrase. I'm part of that independent production sector, and that means that we stand together as freelancers under very difficult and trying conditions. We are not protected by labor laws, so we have to do our best to continue to work, and we work together very well. What we have are incredible South African people who are immensely insightful and who have a wealth of cultural and creative knowledge that they bring to bear whenever they work. We haven't gone far enough to explore that potential.
Thank you very much. Honorable Fonda?
About that?
Yeah. 5 minutes.
Thanks, Chair. Thanks, Mr. Devnarain, I've pronounced it correct. Devnarain, for making yourself available. I think you've got quite an impressive CV, law degree, you're an actor, so you've got experience in the broadcasting sector and entertainment. And you mentioned to us that you want to be on the board to represent South Africa's actors, our talent. What is it that you want to do on, for South African actors? What will you be doing for them if you put onto the board?
Thank you, Honourable Van Damme. I would like to extend that mandate because, as I said earlier to the Honourable Teddy, there's more than just actors who sign the freelance contracts or who are forced to sign it. They either take it or leave it, and that those are the only options given to them. I would like to see a review of all these contracts so that they are made more fair. We have to have more opportunities to be able to speak to the stakeholders that must include freelancers. As much as they already include employees, we have to go further. What I would like to see is an affirmation of the stakeholder relationships, and I believe there are formalized ways that the board can pursue in order to create that so that it exists within the institution. A good idea that I might propose even at that point would be to commission an audit committee to look specifically at those contracts so that there is congruency between the terms of trade, the performance agreements, the producers' agreements, so that they're all saying the same thing.
Thank you very much. So what we're looking for is not only people that have the requisite qualifications, experience, we're looking for people who will also bring fresh ideas and some innovation and dealing with the challenges that the SABC faces. So other than the SABC's staff and its talent, do you have any ideas about, for example, how to improve the SABC's funding challenges? How would you, on the board, make sure that the SABC has the right amount of funding that it needs to do its business? Can you give me an example of one good idea?
I think an idea that hasn't been explored far enough is the idea of creating user-generated content on an SABC platform. I think that might be a great way to encourage the many South African viewers that the SABC already has on its conventional channels, be it on radio or on TV, but to encourage those audiences to supply content of their own making onto a dedicated SABC platform, as much as you might have it on something like YouTube, for example. There are many ways to monetize such an idea, and the SABC hasn't gone far enough, I think, to be able to create those platforms and opportunities for their audience.
What are your views on online regulation as contained in the FPB amendment bill?
I can't speak to that, honestly. I apologize, I don't have enough insight into that. Having, as I do, my background as a performer, I haven't gone into that reading.
Thank you, Honourable Matisha.
Thank you, sir. Just three questions. I hope we'll be able to rush. Okay. Now, first, your skills and experience lies on the creative side of a film and the television. But you lack, in my opinion, experience in directing a company of any size. Now, do you believe that this places you in a disadvantaged position regarding your suitability for appointment to the board? And if not, why? That's the first question. Okay. The second one is the problem of the workers at SABC. I'm quite happy that you have indicated that you come from, you know, the area where you did deal with the workers. Now, but at SABC, you have workers who are in trouble, and I'm sure you know that. You have spoken about the free lancing. They are in problem. Talk of outsourcing, obviously, we talk of salaries. Now, those are problems. How do you protect these workers. That to me is a major problem. And lastly, is the question of politics. Okay, the relationship between the shareholder, the government, but they're represented by the minister who is supposed to represent the people of South Africa. So the shareholder, the board decides, and the management, all right, which, as we know, has not done very well for years there. Hence we are having this consequences. What are you going to do? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Madisha. And we have 2 minutes. The member spent 3 minutes. I agree. I do not have experience in managing a large corporation in the capacity as a director or non-executive director. All I have is my passion, my dedication, the fact that I'm willing to stand up to serve in my capacity as an independent contractor. I submit myself for scrutiny to this committee. Perhaps it's good enough to persuade you, perhaps it's not. Whatever happens, I know that this is democracy in action, and you will choose the right people for that board. Indeed, the workers at the SABC, who are considered employees, are protected by labor law. Those who are freelancers are not. I believe that there's an opportunity to create within the SABC an ombud, at least, or an alternative dispute resolution mechanism. And that's the kind of principle that already exists in King 3, where it's now an emerging idea to be able to create an organizational interface so that disputes that take place within the organization itself don't have to go as far as arbitration or labor court, understanding the specific environment of that workplace, particularly within the SABC. To your third question, indeed, there is tension between the shareholder and the executive and non-executive directors. The easy way to get out of that, I believe, is to align the board with the shareholder. And that is exactly why we are here. We cannot have that kind of alignment where there is political interference of that level. I believe that there must be tension, and that's why we create checks and balances within the board itself.
Thank you. It will be Honorable Davis, Honorable Machoba, after Honorable Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Devnerian. My third question is, can you tell us the theoretical difference between a public broadcaster and a state broadcaster? And then can you tell us whether practically the SABC is currently, or at least in the last 5 to 10 years, has operated more as a state broadcaster or more as a public broadcaster? Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Davis. Theoretically, the difference between a public broadcaster and a state broadcaster is that a public broadcaster takes its lead from the public. It must comply with a mandate that follows a national interest, and that, therefore, it must reflect the views, opinions, and attitudes of the people that it serves. A state broadcaster would take its lead directly from the state, which would then assume that it is being aligned and positioned more as a mouthpiece of the state, as a propagandist tool. I believe, to your second question now, that in the last 5 to 10 years, I believe, and certainly in my experience, witnessing the SABC losing its editorial independence, that it almost certainly has been seen as a state broadcaster.
Thank you. My second question relates to the potential conflict of interest that you flagged in the beginning. Obviously, you are an actor on a SABC television program. If you were appointed to the board, would you resign from your position at Isidingo, or how would you manage that potential conflict of interest?
Honorable Davis, I believe all conflicts
have a resolution. I think that in my particular case, and I must make something clear to the committee, that I have a one-year contract, and that's as much of a contract as any independent contractor will get on SABC. I will see out my contract. That is my commitment to the production and to my colleagues, and that's important to me. If I'm appointed to the board as a non-executive director, I believe only then might there be that conflict of interest. And certainly you'd be considering that now already. What I would like to say is that as a performer, as a trained professional performer, I will continue to find opportunities for performance. In this particular case, I will have to wait until my contract has prescribed before I take further opinion or even the opinion of this committee on how to resolve that conflict.
Thank you. According to the South African Guild of Actors, experienced actors on Isidingo earn in the region of 40,000 rand a month. Those are the figures of about 3 years ago, so I assume that it's more now. Do you think that these actors should be paid more? And if you were appointed to the board, would you campaign for actors to be paid more money?
Actors are being paid marginally more. Usually there's an increase of between 3 and 6% annually if that annual contract is renewed. This is nowhere close to the kind of money that performers in South Africa of that stature should be earning. If I'm appointed to the board, I cannot and I will not isolate any one freelancer from another. I will be looking at all freelancers, and I will be trying to be making every effort to see that in the context of improving the conditions and the remuneration of all freelancers, and not just actors, and certainly not those on one particular production.
Thank you very much. Honourable Machado.
Thank you, Chair. Good afternoon, sir. My question is very simple. What is your future plan for the board in the near 2 years come?
Thank you, Honourable Mochoba. Firstly, I'd like to admit, as the Honourable Madisha has made reference, I have a lot to learn. And I'm willing to take the time to engage myself with the more experienced members of the board. And certainly at this point, I would like to add that we have great support. We'd like to show our support for those members of the interim board who have done so well in their initial turnaround strategy. What I would like to see going forward into the next 2 to 5 years is that there are already major developments taking place that are already before Parliament. In fact, it was about 3 weeks ago that I was in these very chambers with colleagues of mine from SAGA and from FEDUSA arguing for amendments to existing legislation. The Copyright Amendment Bill was one. The Performers Protection Amendment Bill is another. The latter is yet to appear before these chambers for stakeholder comment. But we need to build within the board a preemptive look at how the SABC itself might gear itself in future to accommodate what legislation will do to change the terrain for performers, especially when it comes to actors who will then have the potential earnings that would come from ownership of their own of copyright ownership of their own image, and all these things are groundbreaking. These are massive revisions, as you probably already know. We need to create space to build capacity within the SABC so that these changes can already be accommodated before we are suddenly hit and suddenly we are sitting back as the SABC saying, well, now we're in another crisis.
I'm correct. What makes you to jump to have interest to become a board member in SABC while you are an actor?
I don't believe one can ever
plot these things accurately in one's life. All I know is that whether I am appointed as a board member or not, I will continue my work as a volunteer executive committee member on SAGA and continue to serve in many other ways as long as I can see the injustice contained within the industry that I have sacrificed my life for. I will continue to speak for the underdog. I will continue to speak against bullying, because that's something that I won't tolerate, and I will find whatever opportunity I have available to me, whether it's serving on the board or in other structures, I will continue to fight for those who need to be heard.
Management conflict resolution course experience in your work. The experience in conflict resolution management. Do you have that experience?
Honorable Machoba, what I lack in terms of that experience, in terms of industrial relations, amazingly, as an actor, I have learned many of these principles while I was presenting the training videos to the staff of thousands of individuals who actually work in different industries, and often I am faced with people who have learned something from me, even though I myself don't have the certificates or the qualifications formally.
As an actor, have you ever experienced a conflict in the industry where you are working currently?
What's the kind of response?
Yes, I have.
Thank you very much. I assume that we are familiar with the Broadcasting Act of 1999.
Am I right? Honorable Chair, that is not a correct assumption, but you can be sure that in my preparation for this interview, I have done my best to try and absorb the broad principles contained within the Broadcasting Act.
Moving from such an assumption, definitely you understand that the committee is in the process of amending this, and surely as a person familiar with the Act or with the process of amending the Act, what are areas of interest for you as a citizen and knowing the Act that you think must be amended to assist the committee? The committee is in that process.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I am still coming to grasp with many of the elements contained within the Act, although I can say at this point that certainly when public participation was taken in 2004, there were a number of suggestions and revisions that were proposed. And the independent production sector was very dissatisfied that those revisions were never released again for public comment. And it was perceived as a procedural failure. What I would like to see in this instance, firstly, is that there is more attention paid to procedure once all comments have been taken from stakeholders, so that those can be then released again in order to be an accurate reflection of the stakeholder comments. Secondly, what I would like to see is that party political interests remain outside of the editorial policies. We must be very sure this time, and this is an effort to prevent this cycle from taking place again and again and again at SABC board level. We need to ensure that political interests do not contaminate the independence of the editorial policies that are adopted by the board.
Do you think SABC is
is an important news institution in the country. And if you think so, tell us why. Yes, Honorable Chair, I do believe that the SABC is an important source of news and information. Firstly, that forms a very important and foundational part of the SABC mandate. I believe that the SABC is positioned like no other source, like no other broadcaster, to bring news to people that we often forget about, those people that live in rural areas, far away from any telephone signals, mobile signals, people who might be starved of data, often will be able to get to the radio and connect with the rest of the world. And that, for me, is important. We need to protect that, and we need to enhance that capacity.
Okay. You know, after saying that, what challenges and opportunities does digital migration bring to local content? And how can the SABC address these opportunities or challenges?
Honorable Chair, I believe the SABC needs to state its position. What we have seen is a flip-flop recently, and I think this has left many South Africans quite confused about what exactly does the public broadcaster want. And was the decision by the previous minister politically motivated, or were they motivated by commercial interests? That question, I believe, has not been sufficiently answered. We need to know, as the South African public, we need to understand exactly what was the rationale behind the decision by the minister to choose to go without encryption.
Thank you very much. Honorable Dollar.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Good afternoon, sir. I did read your CV, but I would want to hear more from you. For obvious reasons, that the SABC is in a very abnormal situation. What other knowledge and skills are you bringing to make sure that the SABC does stabilize? To an extent, we agree the interim board has done a lot of work, but if you might be appointed as a board member, what else in experience and knowledge, besides what you have put in the paper, what else can you bring to stabilize SABC? The other question is, the SABC is moving to broadcast in the multi-channel environment. Can you please talk more about that aspect? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Talash. I believe contained within your question is the answer. I genuinely and very strongly believe, and with the greatest sincerity, I feel that my experience as a performer who has been representing and fighting for the rights of performers and freelancers brings me the advantage of helping the board and helping the executive to understand that its greatest resource is actually its people. And this is something that we have seen reflected even in the RDP white paper in 94. We've seen it again in the National Development Plan for 2030, where we keep on saying that people are our greatest resource. Why are we not using people? Why are we not putting people at the center of institutions like this, where we can raise their concerns, understand them, and then we can take what they have to give us as better workers? And I believe that we are in a position where we are yet to harness the full scope of the work that can be delivered by our people at various levels of the institution. Whether they are creatives, whether they are corporates, we are yet to speak to those people because we've denied them a voice by changing their status, simply by saying, because we don't recognize you as an employee, we don't have room to hear you. And I believe that's something that I have the ability to bring at board level. To your second question, I believe that content is always going to drive further possibilities. Content is always going to be the heart and the strength of the SABC. When we increase capacity of the SABC to start a wider offering, we are then attracting new audiences, we are creating scope to deliver on the mandate of the SABC, which is to create opportunities, to create platforms for talent to be seen in educational and in entertainment areas. And the more we have, the more we can serve our biggest stakeholder at the SABC, which is the South African audience.
Would you agree with this arrangement of the identification and appointment of board members as an actor, an experienced person in that field? Do you agree with this kind of an arrangement where we look at the scope that we are looking on insofar as the board is concerned, as an actor? Do you think there's something else that should be done for questions of representation and so on? I'm just putting it.
What, Honourable Talash, what you put to me, I would like to honour with a response, and I would like to say that I absolutely believe in this process. This is an important institutional process, and I believe it lays bare what we need to have in order to create the checks and balances and freedom from political contamination, party political contamination that we've had at the SABC board level. I think this is the kind of process that we need to commit to in order to find the board that will take the SABC out of its never-ending cycle of crisis.
Okay. Another blue kumbel. Now your turn, Tana.
So they call you Rajesh.
good afternoon. You are responsible for making us late at work, some of us, and so on. I don't have a lot of questions for you. One or two questions I want to raise. What is your view with regard to the arts and culture potential value vis-a-vis the actualized value in South Africa? You can take note of that. I'm asking this question because in my time when I was an MEC for Arts and Culture and Sport, countries like Australia got more than 39% of their GDP being that. India, the same thing. America, 40% and above. In South Africa, it's a critical question, to what extent are we tapping economically to change our... And then, once you make your comment, if you were to be a member of a board, what would you do about that?
Thank you, Honourable Gongobele. Arts and culture is untapped in this country, and I believe on the continent as a whole. What I would like to add here is that SAGA is already busy lobbying the DTI. We have a situation where as you have foreign productions coming to be shot on location in this country, and as a producer, one might be able to apply to the DTI to fulfill certain criteria so that you can get a tax rebate. And of all those criteria that you can apply in your production by acquiring certain skills and services, not one of those criteria includes the use of South African performers. This is a huge problem for SAGA, and it's a singular embarrassment. And it's something that SAGA is already building its case in order to bring to the DTI. And hopefully we might be able to pick this up in our further discussions around the the Performance Protection Amendment Bill, but it speaks to exactly as you say. We haven't even begun to understand the true potential and the value of arts and culture and our heritage as an actual commodity in this economy.
What is correct in what I'm going to say? Digital era brings with itself more content, less cost, and more revenue for SABC. Is that correct? And what role would you play, if that's correct, what role would you play as a board member to first time?
This is a complex question that can never be answered simply, because you might well say that digital migration might bring in more content. However, within that becomes the potential for piracy, the theft of copyrighted works, and for the presentation of material that's derived from other broadcasters or other platforms and shared with other platforms without the people who hold copyright being paid. And we need to be careful of that, which is why, in response to your second question, I would say that as a member of the board, I would try to make sure that there is a very sound regulatory framework to prevent the situation where, as much as we might be enjoying new content on new platforms, that it's done within a regulatory environment.
Then my last question is that I'm taking advantage of the fact that you're an actor. Is there a conflict between imperatives of good corporate governance and art?
That's very much an artist's question, I believe. And I think it's an important one, because it speaks to the freedom that performers should have to create the necessary tension in order to deliver art that is worthy of critical acclaim. One needs to approach the imperatives of good corporate governance and challenge them if one is to be recognized as a serious artist.
Thank you very much. Another colleague?
Thank you, Chair. Welcome. I nearly said that, yes, welcome. That's my memory, so steam. That's why we yearn for more content, because I watch only South African soaps. Just the matter of interest, in your opinion, in all the passports, in your opinion, do you think if there was a balance of putting people there? I know when we are here, we look at your, as it outlined in the act, that you person with this expertise, with these skills. Do you think there was a balance in as far as making sure that there you have, you need people who understand where the cultural aspect, the arts, the sports, the recreation. Because we put lawyers there, we put accountants there, and all of us will say that's the best sport, this is what is needed, the human resource practitioners. If you, in your own opinion, do you think we have been doing justice when you want to balance? How much to balance the board?
Thank you, Honorable Galako. I think this is a very tricky one, because it's very easy to overbalance then and go on to the other side, where you put yourself in a position as a committee where you are now forced to have one representative as a non-executive director who represents labor, and one who represents a different aspect of content creation, and somebody who represents the independent production sector, And you open yourself up at that point then for everybody to be putting up their hands and say, I'm a South African Indian. I demand to be placed on that board by virtue of being a South African Indian male. So it's very easy to fracture the entire board in your best attempt to try and constitute it properly. The best that this committee can do, I believe, is to take as broad a possible look at those people who have the necessary skills, knowledge, experience, integrity, trustworthiness, and do they represent, in their capacity, the core values of the SABC?
The next question which I have, I know in the DDI and the committee they were dealing now with the copyright amendment bill. I was in those presentations when some of your organizations were presenting there, and also the protection of performance. Yes, the problem and the catch we have, in as far as we talk about more local content, and what confronts us is not only that we have not yet migrated, but that comes with cost. And knowing the local situation of our artists, they lack capital to actually continue producing, and also we'll need more of them. It means we need funding for them. Don't you think there must be some sort of coordination, collaboration between DDI and this in as far as that is concerned, so that we can continue to, if we open up, this content will be there. It's no use to say you will open up and then there's no content, because people, actors are there, but they don't have money. It's expensive today to produce, to have production.
I absolutely agree. Content does cost money. And this is something that the SABC structures should have considered many years ago. This is something that the DTI had a duty to look at many years ago, and many other ministries as well. The fact that we are here now is because of a failure of those leaders to take a very cold, hard, rational look at what is required in order to create the capacity so that when a deadline is announced, we can deliver to that time. Having said that, yes, there'll still be money, that productions will still cost money. We need to find that money in order to create the technology, to acquire the technology, to shoot the content that we need that will then be placed on these platforms. And that's a question for all of us.
Thank you very much. Any questions for members? Do you have any questions for members?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I have no questions, but to say thank you to you all.
Thank you very much, sir. If you are flying, go well. Thank you very much, DRFC.
Can we have the next?